Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
I think if you're Boston, you know, you're not going to ask for a Stephen Castle. You're not going to get a Stephen Castle in a potential Jaylen Brown deal. You would get the number 2 pick back in return. You would get some of the pieces you guys threw up on the screen there, the Devin Vassells, the Keldon Johnsons, future first round capital. That's something I'd watch if and when the Giannis Antetokounmpo stuff shakes itself out over the next few weeks.
If indeed the San Antonio Spurs did turn to Jaylen Brown, could you see them putting the number 2 pick on the table for him?
Oh, absolutely. I don't think Boston does that deal without the number 2 pick. You know, I think Jaylen's, for San Antonio, worth giving up a player, and you would know this better than I do, but a player that most people talk about as a potential franchise guy in Dylan Harper. Like, people that I talk to really like him. So I think Jaylen Brown is, at his age, with his contract status, his, you know, his playoff pedigree, I think that's worth it. And all of a sudden, you've got Fox, you've got Brown, you've got Castle, and you've got Wemby, you know, backstopping that team. You know, that's a championship contender in the Western Conference next season.
Chris Mannix on NBC Sports Boston. Spurs are the team to watch for Jaylen Brown. They're a contender next year if they add Jaylen to Wemby, Fox, Castle. They're a contender in the West. Celtics wouldn't do the deal without the number 2 pick. Dylan Harper is the name that he highlights. We've also highlighted Ace Bailey. Those are the two players at Rutgers that couldn't get Rutgers to the NCAA tournament last year.
That's a red flag for me.
It's a scarlet flag is what it
Thank
is
you.
For the Rutgers players. But you wouldn't get Cooper Flagg. You would get the next
flag.
Pick. You would get, thank you. You wouldn't get Cooper Flagg. You would get a red flag in the draft. Well said. Jaylen Brown for the number 2 pick? No.
I'm not doing it because...
What if they throw in a Devin Vassell and or a Keldon Johnson?
Keep them both. Keep all those guys. I think it's a different story if, like, the Tatum injury was a career ender, or if Tatum was a free agent in like a year or something like that, and there's uncertainty on if Tatum was ever even going to return. But in my head, Tatum's out for a year, then he comes back, and he's going to be whatever he is, 27, 28 years old, and he'll be back. Fingers crossed that he's close to what he was. I don't want Tatum returning to a team without Jaylen Brown, without Porzingis, without Holiday, probably without, definitely not Horford. And then you're like, hey, but we got you Dylan Harper, who's going to be like 19. That sounds terrible. And he might be good. Like, I do think it's a red flag that he and Bailey couldn't make the tournament. Like,
two of them,
Markel
especially.
Markel Fultz couldn't make the tournament. Ben Simmons couldn't make the tournament.
It's bad that
two of them
one
insane.
Guy couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Two got two
That's
McDonald's
weird.
All-Americans go to a place like Rutgers. Not exactly a basketball powerhouse.
No, but who cares? Two guys.
Although, you know, Quincy Doobie may have something to say about that. But, you know, it's not
but
exactly.
Two guys should be able to go to Northeastern or go to, you know, anywhere and make the tournament.
The whole, every college just about makes the tournament these days.
Right.
So how did they not get in? It's embarrassing.
So I don't love that. But let's just say even they end up being really good players. I want Tatum and Brown back together in another year. So I'm not slamming the door on every Jaylen Brown trade. We had the other, like last week, we were talking about Cooper Flagg for Jaylen Brown. I'm doing that. I like Flagg a lot more than I like the Rutgers guys. So I would do that. I also think he's going to be you know, like an all-star quicker than those two guys. Meaning like Tatum could return to a guy who's already like had a full season kind of playing, you know, Derek White and a couple other guys. And by year two, maybe have a real like budding all-star at that point. That's way more appetizing than this deal. I feel like you're really, really punting on next season. And then it's like a big question mark for the following season. So I'm a no on that.
So hang on real quick.
I get why the Spurs would do it. I think for the Spurs, that would make a ton of sense.
So just because we were talking about this list yesterday, and I also would not trade Jaylen for the number two pick. Number one, Cooper Flagg, in. Looking at the rankings, we did this ringer list yesterday, and we kind of focused on it more as, well, the Celtics have six guys in the top 100, but cross Tatum off. He's 10th for some reason on this list, even though he's not going to play.
I'm not sure how they come up with a list, but whatever.
I'm sure they'll update it closer to the start of next year as well, although it was updated on...
yesterday.
Thank you. Updated on June 4th. So they still have five other guys, not named Jason Tatum, in the NBA's top 100.
Top 90.
Thank you. Jalen's at 21, all the way down to Peyton Pritchard at 89. So I just Googled it real quick, searched for it real quick. Stephon Castle is 40. And it's like, you can't get Stephon Castle for Jaylen Brown, which I wouldn't even do that. I don't want Stephon Castle.
I don't either.
Rookie of the year. I like him.
But rookie of the year in a horrible rookie class.
Right. And look, I was there for the Wemby game last year, Bragg.
Wow.
And Castle was really good in that game. I like Stephon Castle, but I don't want him for Jaylen Brown. I'd rather have Jaylen Brown. I don't want the number two pick for Jaylen Brown. But what interests me about that commentary from Chris Mannix is that there's a team to watch for Jaylen Brown. Like, what? Why?
Yeah.
Why is there a team to watch? Why is there a Jaylen Brown sweepstakes? Why are we gaming all of this out? And so how serious are the Celtics about fielding offers for Jaylen Brown? He had another comment here, and I'll pull it up for you.
But ask yourself
something,
this.
Something along the lines of, like, the whole NBA is just waiting to see how deep the cuts are going to go. Here you go. Right. Teams are waiting to see just how deep the cuts Boston is going to cuts with Boston are going to go. That's what Mannix said yesterday. So teams are waiting. They're like, are we talking about Sam Hauser? Are we talking about Drew Holiday and Porzingis? Are we talking about Jaylen? I mean, teams are lining up waiting for that. And Mannix told you there's a team to watch, which means to me on some level, the Celtics are considering moving Jaylen Brown.
So Brad Stevens is, you know, had this job for a couple of years. He's made a lot of trades and he's won all of them, right? Like pretty much. I think he's won all of his trades. Like you can go back and look at him and be like, oh, well, Aaron Nesmith's like a good player.
Yeah,
I think if you do like the butterfly effect and sort of like where that trade then led to whatever, I think he's done a really good job with the roster. However, do you think Jaylen Brown is somebody that he would trade with everything going on right now with Tatum? I feel like this guy, he's had Brown's entire career. Either he's coached him or he's been in the front office. And there have been Kevin Durant. He wouldn't trade him for Kevin Durant. Now he's going to trade him for Stephen Castle.
It's a good point.
So I don't think
so. Or Ace Bailey or Dylan Harper.
I don't think so.
Or no. Ace, what's his name?
Dylan Harper, Ace Bailey.
No. Okay, yes.
Yeah, that's right.
So he's going to, whatever. Right, this is a good point, though. Yeah. He wouldn't trade him for Durant. He wouldn't trade him for Jimmy Butler, Paul George, whatever million names we've gone over the years, most of which I would have done. Guilty hands up.
Yeah.
Now you're trading him for the number two pick, and it's not Cooper Flagg?
I don't think so. And you could argue that, the Tatum injury might change the equation a little bit. But if he's coming back, and both guys will still be under 30 when he returns, I'm not running away from it and trying to grab the second pick in the draft.
Me neither. Text line puts it well. Guys, if Jaylen's so valuable, why are we always trying to get rid of him?
I've kind of stopped. Honestly, I've kind of stopped. I was early on in his career. The last 2 years, I've not been involved. I stopped with the Kevin Durant thing even a couple of years ago. I was like, I'm keeping Jaylen Brown. I just think the Tatum injury, and then just because we were playing GM, and you're like, all right, if the Mavericks moved on from number one, would you do it? You're like, okay, well, now you're talking about one of the most valuable pieces just based on age, contract, and everything else, like in the NBA. Like, that's going to be one of the more valuable players. And he could end up being a bust or whatever, but Cooper Flagg going into next year, because that Ringer top 100 is just like how they rank the players. Simmons always does every year his like
trade value.
That's a different chart, right? Yep. Like that's not a power ranking as much because you might have an older player ranked way lower. Cooper Flagg's gonna be towards the top of the whole thing.
He will be, and Jaylen will be way lower on that list than on the player list,
right?
Because of the money he makes and you know age and everything else. So, no, I think part of the reason for years and years I was on board anyway with trading Jaylen Brown is because I wasn't sure it was going to work with him and Tatum. Then it did. So I backed off it as well. But Cooper Flagg, I think, is a different level of prospect. And I think the Tatum injury complicates some of that, too. Mm-hmm. It's like, what's it going to look like when Tatum comes back? So I'm not itching to trade him. I'm not doing it for the number two pick. You can throw in all your Devin Vassell and Keldon Johnsons that you want. I don't even want Stephon Castle, who apparently the Spurs wouldn't put on the table. But Mannix does think there is a team to watch in the Jaylen Brown sweepstakes, which means on some level the Celtics are listening. So what do you make of that? You can jump in. 617-779-7937. Let's go to the phone. Sorja in Mansfield waiting patiently on the Red Sox. Go ahead, Sorja.
Jones and Keith, how are we today?
Excellent. Very good.
So really quick here, just want to hit you with some next-gen analytics. So Red Sox lead the league in one loss and losses with 17. And also, they were 500 this year through 64 games, 32-32. And my concern with this Red Sox team is, you know, they played a lot of horrible teams this kind of first third of the season, right? And this is where their schedule really picks up. And like you guys said earlier, it's just like every single time the team is trying to pick some momentum up, they just can't do it. So what I would say is Red Sox are off today. Let's debrief. And let's spank the Yanks this weekend. You guys have a great day.
Okay.
Thank you. Well said.
Don't look that up on a work computer.
No.
But I he lost me a little bit when he said they were 32-32. Did he say last year? They're 30-34 right now. So I don't quite know what he was saying.
Well,
but
I guess, I don't know. It is somewhat similar to last year. It's a little worse.
But your point, Keith, and you've been on a similar point to him, not the spank the Yanks part.
Well, no, I agree with that.
But you've been on a similar track as him with they're fattening up on, or should
no,
be
they
fattening
should
up
be. They're missing out
on a bad schedule.
Yeah. No, they're going to, you know, depending on how the season goes. I mean, they might be 8 games out of the playoffs. And we don't even look back on it. But if they end up being a couple games out of the playoffs, like, you'll definitely look back at the stretch of games against the Orioles and the White Sox, even this Angels team. I mean, they've played a lot of bad teams so far. I think the first month, they had the easiest schedule. That may have balanced out. I think I heard recently it's maybe like third or fourth worst, whatever it is. Like,
yeah, but it still blows.
It's bad team. Yeah. You played a lot of bad teams. Like, this weekend it'll change. You know, 3 games with the Yankees, that'll start to change some of the your opponent's winning percentage. But to this point, it's been one of the easiest schedules in baseball.
They were 32-32 on June 7th last year.
Last year is what he said. Sorry, so I missed what he said. I'm sorry. So a year ago, that's where they're at. So they're behind last year's pace,
which is still wild because you added a
last year
Cy Young winner
after the trade deadline or All-Star break or whatever. They were like 10 games over 500 at one point last year.
Yeah.
Actually, so if I wanted to go to June 5th, so exactly a year ago, they were 31-31.
Okay.
So they're 500 on this date. And now
they lost 2 out of 3 to the White Sox.
And they were, by the way, eventually a 500 team. Even though they went north and they went some games over 500, they finished 81-81. So if you want to play that out, this team's trending towards a fourth place finish and way out of the playoffs if they maintain this pace.
I think they're as close to the second wild card as they are to last place in the division. Like they're and the whole American League is kind of down, right? Like I mean, the Tigers are playing really, really well. But the American League's not great, and they're still looking up at everybody.
So tell me if you disagree with this. I don't think there's much buzz yet for Red Sox-Yankees. It starts tomorrow. I don't think there's much buzz for it.
No, I agree.
By the time we show up on Monday, though, because I think the days of like,
especially
my God.
Start stealing some signs.
Well, oh my God, it's Red Sox-Yankees. It's appointment television. You have to watch. I think those days have been gone for a while, and they're not coming back. But once they actually start playing them, and, you know, you see how the weekend goes.
They're still good.
I think on Monday there will be some buzz with Red Sox-Yankees. I don't think there's much yet. I don't even think tomorrow there will be.
You know who helped it, honestly?
The anticipation of the games is very different than the actual watching and reacting to the games.
You know who helped it was Verdugo. Verdugo was this, like, little annoying, pain in the ass.
He's such a clown. Yeah,
and
no,
he's, like,
it's good
slow
to have
trot
him.
And it's over. But he was, like, a good villain. Like, you hated him.
Good villain. He's very hated.
So you don't have that. That's too bad. Also,
yeah, him and Garrett Crochet. I mean, sorry, not
Cole.
Garrett Cole.
I was just saying, same
I can't
with
do names today.
Take a lap, Nick. Same with Cole. Cole's another guy that, you know, Devers owns Cole. Cole always has these things to say in the post game and gets smoked by the Red Sox. As good as he is, like, you know, Cy Young winner, he can't beat the Red Sox. He adds more juice to it. So you don't have Cole. You don't have Verdugo. I mean, looking at the pitching matchups, you do have Crochet on Saturday, so that helps. But I mean, the Yankees aren't trotting out anybody that you're excited about.
No. No.
With his mid-5 year, he doesn't do it for you tomorrow.
Yeah, no, you'd expect
he
them
and
to
Bueller though. Spider-Man meme.
That's true.
Although he did own the Yankees in the World Series last year.
Okay, so maybe that'll carry over.
The ship has sailed on Walker Buehler. I kind of tried to talk myself into it. That one sailed.
Yeah.
Text line, couple of thoughts here on getting the number one pick.
Okay.
This is actually all a ploy to get Nico Harrison to take Dylan Harper and for Cooper Flagg to fall to the Spurs at number two.
Trade back. No, trade back.
No, just like creating hype for Dylan Harper so that they'll trade back.
Yep.
I also like this. Trade Jalen for number two, then flip the number two pick along with Holiday and Porzingis for number one. Dallas might be dumb enough to do it.
Well, I mean, I don't rule anything out with Dallas.
You definitely don't.
They traded Luka Doncic, for God's sakes. For a guy who's hurt all the time.
So you can weigh in on this. 617-779-7937. We'll talk to Brad Foe about Red Sox and Yankees coming up at 11:30. So about 15 minutes from now, he joins us every Thursday at 11:30. Later on this hour, Stanley Cup final thoughts. Game one, pretty entertaining last night. I think Brad Marchand kind of, sort of, apologized to Rich Keefe. So we'll get to that. Real quick,
yeah.
Aaron Schatz?
Huh?
Schatz.
There it is.
Is that what it is?
Well, that's how it's spelled.
I thought it was like shot.
I mean, I'm not a huge pronunciation guy. I screw up a lot of things, but that's what it looks like to me.
He gave his rankings worst to first in the NFL, all the last place teams, the ones most likely to move to first place. He has the Patriots third.
Okay.
Out of eight teams behind San Francisco, which I think would be the obvious one.
Sure.
And the Chicago Bears. He writes, with all the added talent, plus simple regression to the mean, the Patriots are almost guaranteed to be better off than a year ago. They also have an easy schedule that ranks 28th based on average projected DVOA of their opponents.
Like that.
Red Sox can't fatten up on a schedule. Maybe the Patriots can.
Maybe they can. That's why our win total is so high for next year.
He says the problem in winning the division isn't the new faces, it's the old faces, namely the ones wearing Buffalo uniforms.
Josh Allen,
Christian Benford, Matt Milano.
Yeah, I get it.
Per FPI, the Bills have the best chance to win their division of any NFL team, 65%, making it much more likely the Patriots are shooting for a wild card bid. I think that's fair. I mean, the Patriots, I guess they could go worst to first. We saw Washington do it. We've seen Houston do it just in the last couple of years. So, I mean, I guess they could do that. But I care more about them gunning for a wild card spot than whether or not they win the AFC East.
Well, I mean, it's back-to-back four-win seasons. So can they go, even if they go to eight wins, it'd be under what we think, but that's doubling your win total from a year ago. Like, that's a pretty big step forward, which I think they can do. I mean, it's not perfect. I mean, they have plenty of issues surrounding the team right now, but they did add a lot of talent free agency. The draft is TBD, as it is every single year. But they do play all the teams that we were looking at last year that were fighting. We're like, all right, where are they going to be picking in the draft? All those teams around them, they play all those teams. And so Vegas already put out that number that they're going to be favored. And obviously things change with injuries and whatever else. But as of right now, they're the favorite in 11 games.
Crazy.
So we're even saying they lose a game or two of those that they're favored in, which is football. So it's not outrageous to think they have 9 or 10 wins. But yeah, like taking over first place doesn't really matter. Also, might be a little out of reach.
Here's the full list. San Fran 1, Chicago 2, Patriots 3.
So I agree with that. Do you agree with that, Chicago over New England as a chance? Or do you say Chicago's division's maybe even tougher?
Well, it is a tougher division. I also believe more in May than Caleb Williams. So
What about Ben Johnson?
Chicago has a better roster, and I do believe more in Ben Johnson than Vrabel, but we've never seen him do it.
I think their offense will be better.
I think I would argue Patriots 2.
Okay. Because I think the Patriots' defense will be better than the Bears' defense. But I think the offense will be better for Chicago.
They should be behind San Fran, although San Fran moving off piece. I mean, Deebo Samuel gone.
True.
They should be getting McCaffrey back, but they're making some changes as well.
Brock Purdy, though. They locked him up.
They did.
But I don't know. I mean, when you look at the divisions, because if they're saying the reason why the Patriots can't go from worst to first because of the Bills, you could make that same case with the teams in the Bears division, and they're actually deeper. But I also think Detroit's going to be worse than Buffalo is. I think Detroit's more likely to get knocked off of their pedestal.
So I'd argue Patriots over Chicago. The other teams, New Orleans 4, Tennessee 5, which seems high, Vegas 6, which seems low, Giants 7, Cleveland 8.
Yeah, I would probably flip the Raiders and the Titans, but other than that, I think the list's decent.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Jones and Keith here on WEEI. Every Thursday at 11:30, we talk to Rob Bradford, WEEI.com. And baseball isn't boring. He had some good intel on the pregame fracas yesterday. Dust up, brouhaha.
Yeah, it was good.
Scrap between the Red Sox and the Angels. Bradfo, as always, brought to you by McFarland Energy, the heating, cooling, and bioheat delivery pros that Eastern Mass and all of Cape Cod depend on at McFarlandEnergy.com. They could have used McFarland yesterday to cool things down before the game, Rob.
Oh, my goodness. You know, there's so many words we could have used for that, but the word that fit the best, undeniably, was kerfuffle. That was a kerfuffle.
Yeah, that was the word you used on Twitter. I did see that. I should have brought that up.
It wasn't quite a brouhaha, but it was a kerfuffle. Yeah, it was bizarre because I was up in the broadcast booth doing a podcast and with Ryan Brazier, and I'm all of a sudden like, I'm like, wait a second, something's going on down there. What's happening? Garrett Crochet is walking all the way across the field. And you know what? It inspired them. Actually, it didn't because they gave up four runs.
No, it started poorly. No. Yeah. Although it was the perfect formula. Yeah, go ahead.
No, you know who they were inspired, undeniably, was Rich Keefe up mingling with the riffraff up in the media dining room.
I heard.
Hearing me yell, scream and yell about where are the gummy bears.
Real quick. Yeah, so. Keefe, butt out for a second. Okay. Was Keefe eating just a giant ice cream? This is what I've heard. This is the boots on the ground have said it was a giant ice cream, Bradfo.
I cannot confirm or deny that because I was so in the zone. I was so, like, taken aback by there was no gummy bears. But I do know he was sitting by himself, and I was like, come on over. Yeah, come, nice. You know, come with all the nice. Cool kids. I mean, this isn't high school. Come on.
That's true. The BBWA can be intimidating.
What's the cool table?
The cool table is the one I was at, like, by myself.
McAdams sitting like AC Slater down at the end. Like, just like, well, oh, what do you got, Teach?
Also, his journalistic integrity went out the window once he finally got that City Connect jersey. So, oh, I mean,
he's in the bag now. Yeah.
I had a big ice cream and a City Connect. Yeah. Couldn't really do any better than that. This is going pretty great. All right, well, one of the topics Jones and I have been kicking around, and we heard from Breslow this morning on the Greg Hill Show. Of course, we hear from Alex Cora before and after every game. is just this whole idea of the approach at the plate, the drive line stuff, Cora being like, hey, we might need to, you know, change our approach. Breslow, like, really full throat defense of drive line this morning. Where do you come down on all of this? Are we making too big a deal out of it, or is there something there?
It made me scramble to do a YouTube tutorial of what drive line was after hearing that. I get where Breslow, like, that was about as defensive as you're going to hear Breslow. They come back like that. But I think that that's been the narrative. I've said that narrative. I mean, they've hired half of the Driveline Corporation. And I do think I get where Craig is coming from when he describes Driveline. But, you know, the facts are the facts. You know, in the last 2 years, you have this team who's striking out more than anybody else. You have a philosophy which is, you know, isn't really to do the Luis Arraez, Jacob Wilson that's going to make contact. That's why Bregman was so important. So, you can push back on the Driveline thing. But I think that, There's an approach where it's hit the ball hard, hit the ball in the air, and maybe not prioritize worrying about strikeouts as much as you have. And the numbers bear that out. And I, fellas, like, if you want to talk about one-run games, there's a lot of reasons for it. But for me, that's one of the reasons, is because you got to put the ball in play when it counts the most. And they haven't been doing that.
Okay. Yesterday they did. Cora, before the game, as Keith was suggesting, called out the process, which I did think was a shot personally, at Breslow and Driveline and baseball ops. He's like, maybe we got to look at the process. The process ain't working. And then they come out yesterday, and they're not swinging from their asses, and the only home run they hit isn't a home run in any other ballpark. And was yesterday the beginning of a different approach, or was that just a one-off randomness?
I think the process is an all-encompassing thing, honestly. There's a lot, you know, whether it's like what they're doing in terms of PFPs, taking fielding practice with pitchers because they've been terrible with that, or whatever it is. So when he says the process, I think it's a lot of things. But that could be one of them. I mean, we can't ignore the fact that they had over 10 hits and they had, what, 6 strikeouts. Find how many times they've done that this year. Not a lot. So, you know, I think that overall the process – and guys, another part of the process – is getting these guys to understand when they mess up, right? Sidan Rafaela the other night, and he's been really, really good, but he airmails a throw, and then after the game, he's like, I thought it was a good throw, and after Cora said, no, you should have hit the cutoff guy, right? And so, yeah, it's but Alex Cora can go in the next day, which I'm sure he did, sit down with Rafaela and say, this is why. But to me, this is one of the things this team is missing, is, you know, the manager and the coaches, you can only say so much, and that can hit so much. You need guys in there who are going to say, hey, Sidan, that was the wrong throw. The teammates, the players, those are the best teams. And if you go back to 2021, that's what that team was like. You know, I think that absolutely what they need in there is that they need more accountability. And guys who also understand what it takes to win games. Because that's another thing. They don't have a lot of guys who have experienced a whole lot of winning in there.
What do you do with Christian Campbell at this point? In March and April, he was off to a really nice start to the year. He might have been the worst player in May. I think we even talked about this like last week. He was like the statistically the worst hitter in May, and then it hasn't gotten any better the first 4 games of June for him.
Well, I've been saying they should send him down for like the last few weeks, like maybe the last month, probably the last few weeks. Yeah. But thankfully, they got off this first base thing, which was it made zero sense. It made the sense at the time. We talked about it. I think we signed off at it initially because he was hitting and fine. He's an athlete. He can play the position. They need a first baseman. But why would you land, when they said they were going to play him last Sunday, why would you put the guy who has been the worst hitter at a position that he doesn't know how to play yet? Like, that made no sense. So they got off of that. But I think Christian Campbell is going to be a really good player of the – but are we not seeing this where it's okay to send a guy down, especially if he wants to learn a new position or get better at the position that he's playing? It's okay to send him down. We have plenty of examples. Mike Trout, Jackson Holliday, go down the list. It's okay. And I cannot for the life of me understand what the hesitancy is when you see what they're doing to the kid. Pitch him inside. He hits the ball into the ground. Defensively, doesn't look confident. Send him down, call him back up in a couple weeks or whatever, and go from there.
The Red Sox promised approach in free agency and team building the last few years has been, well, let's get these prospects up here. Let's develop talent from within. Let's even try to pay some of these guys early. They weren't able to do that with Meyer and Anthony, who we're still waiting on coming up. But they did pay Rafaela early. They did pay Bayo early. They paid Campbell early. How are the Red Sox feeling about those early extensions and that approach? Because it doesn't seem like they're getting much of a return on any of those guys.
Well, okay, let's take one by one. Number one, you didn't need to do that with Rafaela. That was nobody understood that. Even if he turned out to be a really good player, you could have waited for that. You didn't need to do it that early. The jury's still out. You know, I saw the story Chad Jennings wrote in The Athletic today about, is he the next Pete Crow Armstrong? Well, that's a pretty big leap. Chad did a great story.
Oh, I missed that.
But that's a pretty big leap.
Yeah.
And so I think that the takeaway there is that that was the guy. You didn't need to do that extension so early. Bayo, same thing. You probably didn't need to, but you wanted to start locking up what you thought was the foundation. Right now, it looks like you might have misevaluated that, but there's a lot of time left with that. With the Christian Campbell thing, you know, fine. But, you know, this might be end up another Rafaela thing. You didn't need to do it so early. And what you're seeing, I think, with these other guys, like Marcelo Meyer, Roman Anthony, and even Casas when he was, like, felt like he was going to be a really, really good player, like, they're like, no, I'm not going to settle for that $50, $60 million extension. I'm going to hold out for the Corbin Carroll. Like, and they aren't going to give it to me? Then that's fine. So the guys that I think that they really want to do it with, like they haven't been able to do it with, and the guys that they have done it with haven't been the slam dunk, no doubt about it, Bobby Witt Jr. You got the face of the franchise going forward.
What are your thoughts on any potential Jaren Duran or Willier Abreu trade?
Ooh, I think that the Duran one, and I remember, and you guys know, like a year ago before Duran took off, we had all the scuttlebutt, another word, excellent word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Scuttlebutt about that San Diego was interested in Jaren Duran. So where there's smoke, where there's fire. AJ Preller trades all the time, so I don't doubt it. But, you know, you think the Red Sox are going to let that guy go for anything but, like, an enormous haul? He's under control. You can say what you want about any flaws in his game, but he's a unique player. He's a leadoff hitter. He's part of the solution, not part of the problem, and I'll come back to it. Like, you have him under control for a long, long time. The question is, do they think that Abreu's better than Duran? And I would say this. Well, you're still pinch-hitting for Willier Abreu. As good a player as he is, you're still pinch-hitting for him. So that suggests to me that Duran's probably a more valuable guy. I just think it's going to take an enormous haul to trade Duran.
Yeah, I mean, I'd listen on Abreu. Like, yeah. If you're telling me they're trying to balance out their roster to get pitching, I'd listen on Abreu. I mean, to me, Duran is mostly a non-starter unless you're getting a haul, like you said. Real quick, I just realized we started with the kerfuffle yesterday. I didn't ask you, what are you hearing that's all about? Because there was one guy, Mike Rodriguez, on Twitter who said the Angels were accusing the Red Sox of stealing signs.
Yeah, that's what it was. It was basically Tyler Anderson, who had pitched the first game of the series. I think that they had caught maybe like them stealing signs, which, by the way, is, you know, it happens in baseball, but, you know, people cannot like it. They're stealing signs when Kikuchi was pitching. So he took issue. It started yelling at Jose Flores, the first base coach. He started yelling back. And then that's when the pitching coach for the Angels got involved, and he went after Flores. Went nose to nose with them. Don't talk to my players, so forth and so on. But it was all over. Yeah, it was all over the stealing signs thing.
This series with the Yankees, obviously, even if the Red Sox sweep them, they're going to be under 500. But even just a series win against New York, could that be enough to sort of light a little bit of a fire? Or do you feel like 64 games, we know what this team is?
No, we have no idea what this. That's a problem, isn't it? I mean, we have no idea.
I feel like we kind of have some idea. I'm afraid we do know. We might know what they are. They stink.
Well, what we think is that they're not very good, right. And they're a team that four games under 500. But yeah, I mean, it can change the narrative. It's just, I don't know if it should, but it can change. It's like, you know, oh, you hit a 308-foot home run to walk it off. Should that change the narrative? I don't know. Like, probably not. And I don't think a lot of people are, but. you got to beat good teams. I mean, their schedule was so soft, and then you get into these games, and even, you know, against the White Sox and Angels, you aren't taking care of business. If you can take care of business, like win a series against the Yankees, yeah, I mean, I think that's an enormous step in the right direction. But the bigger thing is that you just have to, like, have guys play better, man. Like, you have to be a better baseball team. You have to manage the game in a better way. You have to do all this stuff better. You have to find what you are. Because right now, and this is what Breslow said, it was true, they have no idea what they are. Forget about results. Like, they have no idea what their identity is. And at this point of the year, you should have that identity.
All right. He's Rob Bradford. You know his identity. Every Thursday, 11:30 here on Jones and Keith. Brad Foe.
Quick question.
Yes.
Because I've been sitting on this all week waiting for this.
Okay.
I have a quandary. I loved listening to you guys talk about three for three. I love talking about OTAs. I love when the football writers keep track of like 7 for 9. In OTAs.
Yeah.
What is the spring training equivalent of this? Because like, I don't want to be like baseball reporter yelling at clouds, but isn't this like the ball's coming out of Lucas Giolito's hand in Dunedin really, really well, and this keeps stats? Yeah. Like, what is happening?
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, or you could just do Tanner Houck's working on stuff. That's why he sucks right now. Yeah. He's working on stuff.
No, but stop. But start keeping.
Start keeping those stats and we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but if we're doing entire days, like we're painting the Drake Bay picture. And I'm not saying you guys do it in a far more entertaining way than most.
Thank
but
you.
It's like most. It's you're welcome. Mm-hmm. I'm here to build up, not tear down. So it's but it's like I just don't get like how people like say this like so definitively about Drake May. Like Drake May had a great day. He went 7 for 9. Well, all right, talk to me in September. Like this is, and I correlated to
it's June
baseball.
I hate to break it to you, Rob. Football is fairly popular.
I know
people are interested in the team.
No, yeah. But Bradfo, start doing this in spring training next year. We'll relay all of this.
Listen, anyone who's
listening to
AM
radio, Roman Anthony took big cuts
because Rob, there's no podcast that's football isn't boring because people know that it isn't.
Hold on, I'm writing that down right now. Thank you.
All right, Bradfo, good stuff.
Very good.
All right guys.
Thank
I'll see you.
All right. Madfo, he's getting a little mad about the
He was real mad last
writers.
Week.
Yeah.
He was fired up at the team last week.
He is.
Yeah, and then this week he doesn't like the coverage of the football team.
Nope.
We talk a lot of baseball on the show.
Look, we do talk a lot of baseball. Especially this week. Bradfo, you can check out all his work, Odyssey app, Baseball Isn't Boring. He was reunited with Kenley Jansen, which I'm sure Kenley was thrilled about.
Yeah.
The baseball.
Apparently a good sit down with Ryan Brazier too.
Oh yeah,
that's what it sounded like.
Nice.
Off the top.
Nice.
Yeah.
So you can check it out, Odyssey app. He's here every Thursday. You can also check him out on weei.com. We will go on the clock. By the way, I'm not sure if I've teased this yet. Shame on me.
Yeah, we're
high noon.
Come on.
Why Alex Cora should be fired in just 60 seconds.
That that's, is aggressive.
That's going to pop on social media.
I think people are going to be mad.
Why Alex Cora should be fired in just 60 seconds. We'll do that at high noon. I also think Brad Marchand, and I'm not even sure you've heard this yet, Keith. I think Brad Marchand sneaky apologized to Keith. Let's get to it next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Back to Nugent Hopkins. McDavid. It's gone!
Edmonton takes game one of the Stanley Cup final. I admittedly was asleep by the time that goal rolled around.
Well, I'm an oil man, so I was in on that.
I did watch more than I expected of that game last night. Now, the Red Sox played a day game.
Right. That helps.
Really nothing else going on, so that aided in it. But I watched more than I thought. That place was bananas last night.
Electric.
It was electric. It's the right way.
Electric factor.
They score like a minute plus in, whatever it was. Dreisaitl got that goal as well. Uh-huh. He got the game winner. Marchand, your guy, Keith,
sure
had a goal
is.
Sandwiched in there. Looks like Florida was in the driver's seat. They blow
a
2-goal.
3-1, yeah.
Well, 2-goal lead.
Toughest to hold on to in hockey.
They should have not scored. I mean, I was yelling
just
at my
team. Around.
When Florida went up 3-1, I go, what'd you do that for? That was stupid.
Yep. Just dump and chase.
Hardest goal, hardest lead to protect in sports. Like, I was dumb. Why'd
that
you
was
do that?
A mistake on their
You'd
part.
Rather be up one than up two.
That's Sam Bennett's
Moronic.
Fault.
Uh-huh. Moronic. Speaking of Bennett, that was the first goal they got last night. The goalie interference.
Lame.
Wormy little play.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's Sam Bennett.
And it led to Marchand's power play goal on the ensuing power play after the failed coach's challenge on the goalie interference. I say all that to say this. I think, Keith, going into game one.
You think?
Marchand sneaky?
Mm.
Indirectly.
Oh.
Apologize to you, Rich Keefe.
You think so?
Well.
Is that how you heard it?
Why don't you listen for yourself? Okay. Let's listen to this and let's see if Marchand gave a mea culpa about biting off Keefe's head earlier this year.
Yeah, it was stressful. It was stressful in a lot of senses just because some of them were situations I really hadn't been in before and didn't, I wouldn't say I dealt with them great. The business side of it, I let it frustrate me, and then obviously our team wasn't having the success that we expected, and, you know, we were having a hard time getting it back on track, and then eventually we did, and we thought we were climbing back into a playoff position, and then we just kind of fell apart. So it just started to, you know, there was different hurdles that continue to get frustrating and stressful throughout the year, but you know that's part of the game, and you got to find ways to deal with it. And like I said, I wish I had done a better job at times, but something I can learn from.
Okay,
this is how you lose a job very quickly. The fact that he's going to have a job after this is insane.
Look, Keith,
you know what?
You don't know what he's going through. It was a stressful year.
Sure,
the man was under a lot of stress.
True.
He was trying to negotiate a new contract. He was trying to turn the Bruins around and lead them back to the playoffs. He bit your head off, and he didn't mean it. Apology accepted.
You know what, Brad?
Yeah.
Apology not accepted.
No.
Once you're on my list forever.
Keith, that was an olive branch.
Grudge list.
Indirect olive branch.
Don't want it.
That was an olive. You don't want
deflected.
That?
Deflected. Bat it away. Don't want it. Oh, stressful year? Yeah. Nobody's dealing with stress.
Do you think in any way...
I mean, when he called for my job.
Okay, when he was talking about that yesterday, do you think in any way him barking at you crossed his mind? Do you think that was anything he was considering?
I feel like no.
You don't think
I
so?
I feel like unlikely, no.
That was an example of a stressed out man going too far.
Because my guess is he had some pretty good exchanges with, say, Don Sweeney, whether directly or through his agent or whatever.
Or
I'm
Pasta.
Sure those two didn't see eye to eye. I'm sure Pasta.
Okay.
Through the locker room, which was a disaster.
So look, if you didn't believe Keith before, you probably should. Again, when he's talking about he could have handled things differently.
Yeah. I don't think he's talking about me, but I do think he confirms everything that was going on with the team. Yes. All the actions after the fact kind of proved it all out anyway.
They shipped him out.
I mean, they fired. I forget when that even came out. I forget if they had the coach then or not. Like, I forget the timing of it. Was Montgomery even there for that? Or was that happen after that? Whatever.
No. You had them firing Montgomery, then the subsequent
scoop,
by the way, they're a mess.
Right. Well, they already were a mess. Then the mess was ongoing. It continued.
Pasta doesn't like Marchand's leadership, doesn't want to play on a line.
Then Sweeney nuked the team. He traded everybody. He didn't just trade Marchand either. He traded everybody away. But they got their man now.
So apology not accepted.
Not accepted.
If it even were an apology.
I've never accepted an apology in my life. You might as well save your breath.
Okay.
Florida just traded for Marsh.
Oh, yeah, how'd that happen?
Meanwhile, one more time, we talked about this earlier. We can set some of it up again.
The Bees have their man.
The Bruins have a new coach.
Yeah, that's right.
Marco Sturm. Very well-kept secret. We had not on anybody's radar whatsoever. You're a thumbs up or a thumb. Those are your only two options. Thumbs up or thumbs down, Keith.
So
you're
three options?
No, you get up or down.
I'm a down. I had to be a Debbie Downer on such a historic day, the 30th coach in franchise history. Very exciting.
You shouldn't hate to be a Debbie Downer. They're the last team to hire their coach.
Yep.
They got the literal scraps left over at the bottom of the dumpster. Yep. They dove in head first. They had their choice between Mitch Loven and Marco Sturm, and they chose the guy they knew.
The guy,
by the way, had to remind you that he played for the Bruins in his little video that he put out on social media.
You know, he has two nicknames, according to hockeyreference.com.
Okay, well,
someone
tweeted me one that I hope is one of them. I don't know if it is.
Careful.
Sturm Surge?
No.
That'd be a good one.
That's better than these two.
Yeah, it's a good
one.
I like
that.
I hope the Sturminator is one of them.
Ooh. No, Nick, also good.
Wow.
You've been sitting on that all morning.
I just thought of it.
The Sturminator. Sturm Surge?
No.
So we already have two. You're telling me.
Sturman Munson. No. That's not it either.
You meant Sturman Munster?
Munster.
Yeah.
Munster.
Actually, either
big
works.
Big name show today, actually.
Yeah. We're really just fumbling everything.
Sturman Moore. I like that guy.
Yeah.
He'd moss you in the end zone.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sturmy? Is one of them.
Okay, good.
That's one of his nicknames.
That's a good, clever hockey nickname.
The other one seems very on the nose.
Okay.
German. There's German.
There's German.
It's like, so we have the one guy on the team from Germany, you just call him German?
It's better than what I might have thought they would have gone with.
Oh, you put it together, I like it.
Yeah.
German Sturm?
German Sturman.
It's German Sturman. Maybe that's what I was saying.
Yeah.
Marco German Sturm. 30th head coach of the Boston Bruins.
What a get.
Yep.
What a get. I can't even imagine what they've been haggling over over the last week or so since word leaked out he was the likely hire. 617-779-7937. You can weigh in on the newest head coach of the Bruins, probably soon to be the next one out in advance of the 31st head coach 2 years from now.
He's got 2 years, and that assumes he wins one President's Cup. He'll have 2 years.
Yeah.
Anything short of that, a year and a half.
All the comments on the Sturm video today were basically that. They're like, what does it matter? In 2 years, there'll be a new scapegoat. Don Sweeney's still here.
Seriously, dude.
Who even cares?
Rent, don't buy.
So we get to more thoughts on that. We'll get to the Red Sox and their win. They did win yesterday, Keith.
It's a huge win.
Which means it's perfect timing to go on the clock and decide why the Red Sox should fire Alex Cora in just 60 seconds. We'll give you our list coming up next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.